It's time for Tiger Talk on Star 99 and DRGNews.com. Tonight, the coaches will talk with Andy Hsu for Tiger Talk. Tiger Talk is brought to you by Bridge City Realty, Grand Central Station, Dakota Bank, and Hands On Health. Now live from the Pizza Ranch in Mobridge, here's Andy Hsu.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pizza Ranch. And we are going to talk golf first, and then we're going to talk Popo Robo. And I am excited tonight because we have Coach Stefan Hedick with us to start the show. And, Coach, we're getting down to the wire. It seems like it was just the other day that you guys started playing golf and organized tournaments and so on and so forth. But right now, you guys are gearing up for regionals, I imagine, trying to improve your stroke play and get everything in order to get a couple of guys or the whole team actually qualified for state. Tell me a little bit about the process right now.
Yeah, it's that time of the year that it amazes me how every year the season seems to go faster and faster, but here we are. We're done with all our regular season meets and all that's left is regionals. So that's the point where there's only five, you know, your top five are the ones that can go to the regionals. So we kind of end practice for everybody else so I can just work with specifically those five and just getting ready for that meet.
Tell me the five that are qualified for regionals this year.
You're going to put it on me. Yeah. On the radio, huh?
I know that Will Blankarts has been your low score golfer so far this year.
Yep. William Blankarts, he's leading us off. And then we have Greg Kessler, Jacob Zorns, Marcus Beyer, and Brady Longbreak are the five that make up the region team this year.
I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of impressed. Marcus Beyer has improved his score from the beginning. When you give me the scores, I always kind of, you know, make a note of who's, you know, improving their scores along the way. And it seems like as far as the golfers go, they're all pretty much set with their numbers. But Marcus Beyer has really improved and improved his scores the last couple of meets anyway.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed this year as well. It's good to see other people noticing it. He's putting in a lot of work. He really does love golf. And, you know, he's been with us for a number of years and was kind of a beginner when he started out. But at the beginning of the year, he was kind of in that borderline 5-6 area, whether he was making it to meets or at the varsity level. And he's worked himself all the way up where these last couple of meets, he's been, I think, my third best score. So he's had a great year and improved a lot.
So right now you're in practice mode. What kind of things are the kids working on? You know, they always say drive for show, putt for dough. Is it each day you're working on a different phase, a short game, or the long game? Or are you going around to round right now?
You know, we try to work on everything each day. But, you know, yesterday we hit a ton of balls on the range and just working on repetition and hitting the different distances, hitting the different targets and trying to hit certain shots. And then today we got on the course and played holes and trying to put some of that together.
In years past, you guys have had a pre-region meet where you get to practice kind of on the course that is regionals. You told me a couple of weeks ago there is no pre-regions this year.
Right. You're kind of at the mercy of what how busy the courses are this time of the year, whether or not you can get on for a pre-region. You know, they're obviously more willing to let you on for a regional tournament, but that pre-region being just a practice round. And regions is at Mitchell at Lakeview this year. Beautiful course, but they have a lot going on right now. They got a lot of tournaments. In fact, most years we would have gone and played a practice round ourselves on Sunday and then stay overnight and play the regional Monday morning. But this year we can't even get on Sunday because they have one of their biggest tournaments of the year out there all day. So the good thing is we made it down to Parkston's invite this year, which is on that same course. So the kids did get a chance to look at it earlier, and some of them are going to go down, I believe, on Saturday and play it on their own. So they will be somewhat familiar with the course when that rolls around.
Do you encourage when the kids are out on the course, hey, take notes, you know, get the angles, make sure you're clearing the hazards, so on and so forth, when you get to golf on a course that you're going to play regionals at?
Yeah, we've typically kind of done that in the practice round, which we don't really have this year. But as state as well, when I have them there, I'll give them some note cards and then you kind of jot down any notes, anything that you want to remember. You know, if you're playing a layup shot, what the distance is, what club's best to use, things like that. So they have something when the mental side kicks in, when it's actually competitive regions and you're trying to shoot that best score, then they can look back and say, hey, this is I remember this is what I wanted to do. This was the game plan for this hole, so on and so forth.
You watch the PGA on TV, and they play four rounds. They play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday if they make the cut. You see some golfers change their approach to different holes as the weekend comes in. Now, if you plan a nine-man course, you can do that, a nine-hole course. I'm sorry. If you plan a nine-hole course and you know the last time you hit your driver and it went way out of bounds, this time I'm going to lay up. But on an 18-hole course, how do you adjust?
You really don't. You know, it's you get to play each hole one time, so you got to make the best of it when you're there and be prepared for it.
One thing I don't understand about golf is you get to coach this team all year long, but when they get into the middle of a meet, you can't go out and say, hey, you might want to break out the sand wedge here. You can't really coach them. Is that something that should be changed in the future?
Well, I'm going to correct you a little bit. It used to be that way, that coaches couldn't really have anything to do with the kids at meets, but it has opened up some lately. We can now coach them from tee to green, meaning we can talk to them. Once they've all teed off, we can talk to them within the fairway, talk to them about shots, things like that. But once every kid's is on the green, that's when communication has to cease.
Well, you see seasoned pros out there talking it over with their caddy. I mean, I would think that a coach that might be able to read a green a little bit better than, you know, a 16-year-old kid might be able to help the game, not just the competition.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, there's pluses and minuses to both sides. You know, there's a fairness to it too, where some schools can have assistant coaches and some can't. And then part of it at these meets is you have to have a marker with every group, just to keep things honest and making sure that everybody's writing down the right scores. Well, with a lot of the schools, the coach is the one at regions that ends up being the marker. So if you don't have somebody else that can make the 4-hour trip, like we have to drive to be a marker, the coach is the marker, so they can't be out there coaching anyway, where some schools can. So there's some different things that come into play on the fairness side of that too with the coaching.
About 4 years ago, I went over to Aberdeen and watched the girls team play in the state golf meet at Lee Park. And I was really amazed about the crowd. And so I asked a couple of girls, does it make a difference if mom and dad are out there, if your schoolmates are out there kind of cheering you on? And all of them said universally, yes, it does make a difference. It's kind of that extra step when you want to, you know, kind of give up, and they're there to cheer you on, and you want to do the best you can in front of them. So you talk about going to Mitchell, you talk about the long drive and so on and so forth, but it'd be nice to have a good crowd there for the Mobridge Pollock golfers.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll say in my experience as a golf coach is Mobridge parents are no strangers to travel, you know, whether it's basketball, football, right, golf, or whatever. A 3-hour trip's just an everyday occurrence. So we do have well-traveled parents that do tend to make it to meets to help support their kids.
And it's one of those things where it's a school activity just like anything else. You know, a lot of things get talked about when it's football or basketball or even track and field. But golf is another activity where if you get an opportunity to go out and watch these kids compete, you might not know anything about the game, which a lot of people don't. But it's kind of fun just to see these kids out there, you know, competing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll take all the kids like to have the support, have people there watching them and cheering them on. You know, the other side about why I think personally why you don't see as much interaction with the golf is people don't really understand, you know, people that aren't around golf a lot don't really understand the ins and outs and in what it takes to watch. You know, you go into a football game or a basketball game or a volleyball match, you can sit and talk and yell and scream and whatever, and not so much true on the golf course. You know, there's a lot of rules on where you're allowed to be and in proximity to the players, and you need to be quiet and things like that. So just I think the fact that maybe a lot of general Tiger fans don't understand that is maybe deters them from that as well.
It's an etiquette thing.
Absolutely.
Golf is one of those games that is high in tradition and etiquette for sure.
Absolutely.
So we've talked extensively about the girls basketball team and about the young girls that you've got in your stable coming up. Let's talk about the boys golf team. I see when I go out and play, I see a lot of young kids, and we're talking, you know, seventh, eighth, sixth graders out there trying the game, getting out there and playing nine holes or 18 holes. What do you see as far as the future coming up?
You know, we're absolutely a young team right now. I mentioned those five that are going to regions. One of them's a junior, one of them's a sophomore, and that's the only two kids on the roster that are above freshmen.
Wow.
Three of those region kids are freshmen. And then we've got a couple more freshmen on the roster and several eighth, seventh, sixth graders. So a lot of young kids, if they're willing to put in the time in the summers and get out there and be practicing in the off season, the entirety of a golf season in the fall for Class A boys is less than 2 months.
Yeah.
So if you're an absolute beginner and have not been swinging the club all summer to prepare, there's not a lot you can do in that month and a half to really compete. So the off season is crucially important to the success of a golf team. So if those young kids can get out there and put the time in the summer, there's a lot of potential for this team.
You know, and I know from me playing golf and getting the text messages and stuff, Stuart has the I'm talking about the golf pro out at Owyhee Hills has the indoor, you know, simulators. And I don't know what the restrictions are on that, but I think the kids could play in the wintertime, go up there on the simulator and practice their swing even then, couldn't they?
Yeah, that's an advantage as well. And even if you're not going out to the simulators, just if you have a garage or something with a tall ceiling, hitting into a net just to continue swinging is going to help as well. Or anyone can roll out a flat carpet and hit some putts. But that is an advantage for sure. They have two or three simulators out there. And I believe there's just certain times that they're open that you can just make a tee time and go hit balls. So, yep, that's an advantage as well. Living where we do and having potentially 2 feet of snow is not inviting to a year-round golf, but we got to do what we can.
We could all move to, like, San Diego or something and play there, right?
Yeah, I don't look very good in a swimsuit.
Let's talk about the course that you'll be playing for Regions. I imagine with your extensive travel and playing courses all over the state, and you said you had a meet there earlier in the year. Tell me about the course and the challenges of it.
Beautiful course. It's there's some water on the back nine that can get you, but it's not as tight as some of them that we've played, like Pier. It's relatively flat, but there's a good amount of trees. And there's some different challenges with some out of bounds and things like that. So I wouldn't say it's the hardest course we play, but it definitely has its challenges.
So we talk about it during fishing tournaments. What do you think the weight is going to be in the fishing tournament? What do you think the low score is going to take to qualify these kids for state?
Oh, boy. If I was to guess right now, I would say somewhere in the mid to low 90s. But you never know, you know, year in and year out, depending on weather conditions and other kids. I think we'll maybe be a little bit behind where we've been the past couple of years in the region, just looking at the field that we have. So it potentially could be in the upper 90s or around that 100 spot. But I would guess somewhere in the 90s is going to probably be the cut.
I imagine you played the teams in your region right now. Teams to look out for, the team that is probably going to be the team to beat.
I would say right now the favorite to win the region is definitely going to be Winner. Winner doesn't have probably the best golfer or maybe even the best one or two golfers in the region, but they've got all five of them can shoot in the 80s, and that's not something that's commonly seen in Class A boys. Is that many to be that low? Usually you have maybe if you've got a stud golfer that's shooting in the mid-70s, and another one in the 80s, but then you got a 3, 4, 5 that are 90s or 100, low 100s or something like that. And that's even a respectable team score at times. But to have five golfers that can play in the 80s at any time is going to give you a lot of potential as a team.
What do you guys need to do to get all five? We already talked about it, 90s would qualify for state, but to get a good third, fourth, maybe even win regions, you guys got to go out and shoot 80s?
Yeah, you know, everybody's just got to play their game and do the best that they can. And hopefully the rest just falls in line.
What are your strengths? I mean, I've seen William Blankarts hit a golf ball. It seems like he can put one on the moon as far as his drive goes. Short game, are you guys real strong there?
You know, thing is about William is he doesn't hit it just a little bit smaller yet, a little bit younger. He doesn't hit as far as a lot of them, but he doesn't miss very often.
Yeah.
Being, you know, left, right, or so he's pretty dead straight every time. And that comes from the incredible amount of time that he puts into the game. So, you know, that's his strength is just consistency. And as he grows into his swing physically, he's going to have an even better time. You know, every kid has their strengths and their weaknesses, and can't really sit here and probably list each one. But I think as a team, it's just what we need to do is be focused and you kind of put me on the spot.
Well, keep it in the fairways, yeah. Put it on the green in two, and go from there.
Yep, just that easy.
How long is this course? I mean, is it got some 500 yard holes?
Yeah, it's pretty long. There's a pretty long par three in there that's straight up a hill, and then there's some longer par fives and stuff. It's longer than some that we play, but we also play some very short courses in our season as well, so probably average.
I notice my score goes really low when there's small greens. Are the greens good size in Mitchell?
They're very big greens. Yep. Bigger greens than we're used to at most of the courses we play. So that's going to be another thing that comes into play is the speed of the greens and the size of the greens. You're going to see some putts that you're not used to regularly in Mulbridge.
Well, I tell you what, I know that we're all behind you and we're rooting for the team. And we hope you guys do well at Regions. Take five kids to state. That'd be a nice trip. Where is state this year?
State is in Aberdeen.
Aberdeen?
Probably about as short of a trip as we can.
That would be awesome.
Tournament, yeah. Usually we're 5 hours in the southeast corner or 5 hours in the
There's two courses corner. In Aberdeen, isn't there?
Yep, Lee Park and Moxon. We're at Moxon this
okay.
year. Yep, that's
okay.
That's the private one.
Nice course. You probably golf that one too?
Beautiful course, yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us and taking some time out of your schedule. And again, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to take a 2-minute break, and Pam Wells is going to join us. We're going to talk Mobo Robo when we come back. 2 minutes. This is Star 99.
Go get them, Tigers. Grand Central Station of Mobridge wants to take this time to wish the Tigers the best this season. Grand Central Station is here for all of your tires, oil changes, convenience items, bait, and of course, gas or diesel. They look forward to serving you in the future. More great things like their new car wash will be coming soon, too. Stop by and check out all the new changes. Good luck, players, this season and in the future from the friendly staff at Grand Central Station in Mobridge.
No one has a handbook for what we're living through today, which is why the experience you have access to makes all the difference in how you make it to tomorrow. For decades, Dakota Bank has worked with ag producers through industry, economic, and regional changes. We're committed to agriculture. We're committed to the producers and families that make our communities great. Go with commitment, experience, and integrity. Dakota Bank, banking, insurance, mortgage, and trust. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Insurance and trust not FDIC insured.
Are you ready to buy a house or business in the Mobridge area? If you are, call Harley, Riley, Carol, or Jackie at Bridge City Real Estate. Check out their website at bridgecityonline.com and their Facebook page too. They are your local realtors and they will be happy to help you. Bridge City Real Estate wants to wish all the area athletes and coaches good luck throughout your season.
Daddy, what do you do for a job?
Well, Aurora, I make people feel better. At Hands On Health, we provide physical therapy for individuals suffering from pain or recovering from surgery.
What kind of people?
People recovering from surgery, those who have neck and back pain, and balance issues.
And if you're in pain, come see my dad.
Give us a call to schedule your appointment in Mulbridge at 374-5844. That's 374-5844, or find us on Facebook at Hands On Health Wellness Center.
Call my dad today.
Hey, welcome back here. We are at the Pizza Ranch, and I tell you what, the buffet is on. Everybody come on out and have a great meal here at the Pizza Ranch. We have Pam Wells with us, and we're going to talk Mopo Robo. It's a hard one to say, actually, but it's exciting that technology has finally come into a team atmosphere. And I know this has been...
Since 2013.
And it's extraordinary to me because some of these kids, their whole lives change in a direction because they want to get into the technology after school and go into college with it. So what a great opportunity for kids that might not want to play on the football field, might not want to be on the volleyball court or on the golf course or whatever. Mm-hmm. The beauty of this is they can do both, right?
They can do a lot. Not only are they building a robot, which is a big part of it, but there's more to it. There's art writing an engineering notebook. There's an interview that they have to participate in, and there's a marketing presentation that they have to do. The marketing presentation is a really big portion where they have to basically sell, that's in quotation marks, the robot. So it's a really learning experience. It's not just for the person who wants to go into engineering. It's for the person who would like to study, well, maybe marketing or right. maybe just interviewing and knowing how to talk to people. So,
you know, for years, I used to do my pregame with the kids. And it's funny, I could tell the kids that were in 4-H or had some experience talking in public and the kids that had none. Exactly. And I just feel, and I am a communicator, so I just feel it's a very important skill to learn. The kids say, why? Well, because you have to give a presentation. It means you can stand up in a boardroom and give a presentation there. You have to go in for a job interview, and you have to be able to market yourself. So this is a thing that is a passion of mine. I wish that this was something that every kid in the curriculum would have to have before they graduate from high school.
Well, you have a really good point there. I do want to go back to what you said earlier about kids who have participated in this. A prior student had no interest and really wasn't anxious to be on the robotics team, but he was. And then he went to SDSU, was the head team, I think, 2 years ago for the robotics
wow.
team. And now is doing that. I think he's making robotic parts for people that have
wow.
amputations. So that's really interesting. We have kids that gone into engineering. I've had students that started with marketing. They didn't know they wanted to go marketing. They were in the marketing presentation, and now they've gone into marketing into their careers. So it's something that counts for all. We don't have a lot of kids on the team, because it really is takes a lot of time. And we have those same kids that you're saying, they're playing football, they're playing volleyball, they're active in their community. So it's sometimes that they have put in a lot of time and effort to do this work, you know, so it's fun to watch.
And it's not cheap, is it? It's very expensive, and it's something that the school gets behind. But the funding really needs to come from the private sector.
Oh, last year was amazing how the community came together to support us. I don't know if you remember, but last year we got third at SDSU.
Yes.
And we were able then to go on to the big regionals in Denver. Well, of course, that was canceled due to some COVID restrictions.
Right.
And we had it there. And I think we ended up in eighth. No, we ended up fifth in out of those 24 teams there for our robots.
That's
performance.
Amazing.
It is. Because it is a national type competition, we were competing with kids from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Nebraska, and that regional one. So it was really a lot of fun and very eye-opening for the kids. And I think they have that taste of you can compete in something that isn't with a ball.
Right,
you
exactly.
know, they can have fun with it. And it's very entertaining to watch. If you ever want to watch something that's pretty exciting, it's going to a robotics competition.
Yeah, you know, I remember when I worked in Nevada, it was a big thing there, and they were building a car. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a robot car, but it was a car that they were trying to race across the desert with just solar energy.
Right.
And I remember those kids, they were so excited. It was like bigger than a state championship game to get this car out in the desert and take it across the Black Rock Desert. And there were schools from all over Nevada that showed up with their mm-hmm. cars. And these kids built it from scratch. So I do understand that part of it, because you create something and then you compete with it. And it's a source of pride for not only them, but for the school as well.
It is a source of pride, and it's a source of pride for our community members, because, like I said, last year, we found out just how excited everyone was about it. We had people offering not only funds, but their time and effort, you know, making a goodie bag, whatever, wishing us well on the way to do this competition, because they saw something else for our students. They see something. Our kids are not just athletic kids,
right?
But they're academic kids.
Yes.
And so that's really was really great in our community. There's people that have never supported some events like they do the robotics team.
Right.
So it's really good. And like you said, they take a box of junk. It's not junk. The kids are given materials, and they're told what materials they can use. They can't just pick up anything that's prefabricated or anything. They have to make everything on their own.
Wow.
It's really tough to make a gear out of wood, let me tell you.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. So we're working hard. James Fulkerson this year is our head engineer. And he just is moving along, and he had that thing running in the first week after the startup.
Wow, amazing!
It is, and we have Ariane Demound is our computer programmer, and she's excited she's not excited right now because her computer the computer program is not being loaded on her computer.
Yeah.
But she's been using it, and she's saying, "Hey, this is really a good program to use." So she's excited doing that.
Wow.
There's others, Sylvia Bolander and Grace Fulkerson, who are our interview people, they got second last year at SDSU. And so their hope this year is to get first. That would be great. And we have new kids on the team, like Logan Vetch, who's just a firecracker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a firecracker. I give the kid kudos for being a cross-country runner and just busting himself. And then he comes in the morning, like 7:30, 7:15 in the morning to work on the marketing presentation. For
that's
robotics.
Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. One of the things that we mentioned was the fundraising. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got a big fundraiser coming up right here at the Pizza Ranch.
Yes, that's next week Thursday.
Next week Thursday. And it's a great opportunity to come in and get a great meal. But not only that, but to give to the robotics club.
Right. And we will have a working robot so they can see what it's going to be looking at. It's not quite done yet.
Yeah.
But it's working. And speaking of the robot, the game that it has to do is we have to build a robot to fix a robot and then run that robot.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's super crazy. It's I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do really well on it. And again, when the community gives us the support, the kids are just excited about that. This year, the kids are going out also and for support, and we have a little placard for them to put in their business or whatever. I just think it's they're just tickled.
Yeah.
About it. You know, the people that are coming in and supporting them. And we want to showcase it too, maybe at a ball game, though those are getting to the end because our competition is on October 22nd.
Okay.
And with that, when you talk about fundraising, why do we need to raise the funds? The school is very, very generous in supplying vehicles and all that kind of stuff. But I feel that we need to work at it too. And so we pay for our room and our board, you know, when we go to SDSU because the competition starts like 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
Wow.
And so I don't want to drive that.
I don't blame you.
So we do, and we stay overnight. And then if we go to, and if we go past that one into the regionals, then that'll be an extra cost for us too. So it's exciting, but the kids really work at it and they are so appreciative of the people. They went in to talk to people and they said, "Oh, you're from the Mopo Robo team. Here's some money. And you're doing some really good. Tell me about what you're doing." And they're so interested too.
That is great.
That's great. So I'm really, and Pizza Ranch is great about supplying a venue so that we can use this as a fundraiser.
Right.
So I'm really excited for that. So, yeah.
So Thursday, and it's at 5:00.
I believe we're here from 5 to 7.
Okay. Like I said, it's a great meal. Come on up, and you're helping a great cause. If people can't make it and they still want to donate, do they just get a hold of somebody at the high school?
Yes. They can call at the high school and they'll either patch it to me or the Kathy doctor is always good about taking
it.
And then we're also going to be selling t-shirts.
Okay, great.
You know, and then they can wear it with pride that they were a Mopo Robo.
Well, I might have to buy three, I think.
it's a good deal, but we try to do that because we found out in previous years that kids or parents, grandparents like to have that memory of the year of their child or grandchild or person being in the
position. And it's just like when a team goes to state and they buy the t-shirts, you know, state bound and stuff like that. This is another opportunity to have, you know, a Mobridge Pollock Mopo Robo t-shirt.
You know, not everybody has one of those.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, so it'd be good. And like every year we have to have a theme. So we are going to all be dressed alike for the competition. That's part of it. It's part of the fun of it. And spirit, and we like to have banners and all that kind of stuff too.
I remember one year I went to a pep rally and you guys brought your robots out for the pep rally.
Uh-huh.
It's just one of those things that I think every student feels included when you can do different things like that.
Right. And everybody then everybody supports everyone.
Right.
You know, so like last year, I know that we came, we brought the game ball out for a basketball game.
Yeah.
And that was funny, but it was kind of a, it was kind of because we had beat them at the regional tournaments too.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was kind of fun. The kids, and the kids enjoy it, you know, and it's amazing that the different students,
right.
It's not, they're all so unique.
Right.
And they bring so much to the table, you know, that it makes a team very complete and very competitive. So it's exciting times for this,
well,
team.
Well, I think I know all the kids you mentioned, and they're all great kids.
Oh,
and,
all of them.
And one thing I know Logan Vetch probably better than the rest of them, and I know what a hard worker he is. Mm-hmm. And you know, all summer long doing the marathon runs and stuff right. like that just to get ready for cross-country season. And I know that he's going to dive into this. His older brother was into drones and, right. and did some photography that I couldn't believe when I right. saw. So this is going to be a very, very good group of kids
right.
competing for Mulbridge Pollock High School.
Right, and like another one is Gavin Silvernail. You just yeah. you don't know how much – time he puts into it. He is so diligent,
yeah,
and he perseveres. He's just really good work, all of them. I think that's our strength. We all persevere, you know, like Sky McCann. She mm-hmm. is our she does our letter writing and all our PR stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. they're just, everyone has a job,
right?
And it's a big job.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time. So they all persevere. They're all very diligent in their work. And I just appreciate every single one of them. Another one, a person I want to mention is Matthew Connect.
Mm-hmm.
He's my assistant this year. And next year, because I won't be working with that anymore next year. And so he's amazing. He is really helping getting everything ready, preparing everything for the competition. So.
That is great.
So,
you know, we talk about this generation and, oh, when I was your age and so on and so forth, this gives me hope. When I hear about, you know, the group of kids that are so determined and working so hard for a goal, it really gives me hope that this generation is going to be all right.
They are. These particular students are what I would call the cream of the top, cream yeah. of the crop. I mean, they are top notch. They are always... they're there. I have them in my room at 7:30 in the morning.
Wow.
You know, can I work on this a little bit? Or I have another donation, Mrs. Wells, or, you know, what do you think about this? And they're always on top of, if they're not working on the robotics, they sit in my classroom and they do their homework.
Yeah. That's amazing.
You know, so, I mean, these are the kind of kids that, you know, are going to go out and they're going to
right.
make the world a better place.
Future leaders.
Definitely future leaders. So,
so we want to talk a little bit again, Pizza Ranch, Thursday night, 5 yep. o'clock. Come on out, have a meal, donate to a great cause. The T-shirts, if people want to maybe order a T-shirt, Facebook?
I think they're putting it on Facebook. Again, this is my team that's doing it.
Uh-huh.
They just designed it, so they're going to put them out on Facebook.
Okay.
And I think we're going to have a form at the fundraiser on Thursday night.
Okay,
also.
Great. So everybody should have a T-shirt.
Everybody, if they want one, we're going to make sure you get one.
That is incredible. I am so glad that I invited you to talk tonight. I've been wanting to talk about other things than just the sports and competition that goes on at Mulbridge Pollock High School. I know the band is going to Gypsy Days to compete. I want to talk to him about that experience. I think there is a lot more to the students at Mulbridge Pollock than just athletics. And I am so happy that I invited you to come talk.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I think you're right, though. I think our kids are involved in so much. We have a book club. We have a writing club. We have, like you said, all the music. We have the drama. We have the oral interpret. Our kids are so involved.
Yes.
You know, and they're so busy and they really do an excellent job of holding the traditions of the Tiger, you know, the Tiger Nation, if
right,
you would, you know,
right.
So they're just a really good bunch of people. And I think that they all need to be recognized. And I'm really glad I was here to be with you today.
Yes, I'm excited. I want a T-shirt. I want to see the robots compete. In the past, you guys have done a little demonstration. Are you going to do that again this year?
We're hoping to. Like, we'll be demonstrating here at the Pizza Ranch next Thursday.
Okay.
And then hopefully we'll be able to demonstrate during, like, either a volleyball game, probably a volleyball game this before we compete. And
awesome.
We usually try to keep the robot so you know, if we do go move on,
yeah,
and are fortunate enough to move on to regionals, we will be doing that at the beginning of December. So the competition is October 22nd, and if we have another 6 weeks after that or 8 weeks after that, and we'll be going, hopefully, your fingers crossed,
yes,
be going to the regional ones again, because it is a very difficult competition this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing what not only our team does, but what the other teams do too, you know, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's at the Swiftel Center at Brookings on October 22nd, but we'll be here at the Pizza Ranch next week, Thursday.
Next Thursday. Everybody should show up, have a meal, and help out a great cause. Pam, thank you so much. Or Mrs. Wells, I'm sorry. Thank you so much for coming in. Oh, I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is going to do it for Tiger Talk tonight. We appreciate the Pizza Ranch for allowing us the space. And again, next Thursday, come on out to the Pizza Ranch and have a great meal and support a great cause. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Back to you at Star 99.
This has been Tiger Talk, brought to you by Hands On Health, Dakota Bank, Grand Central Station, and Bridge City Realty. If you missed a second of the show, go to drgnews.com/star99 for the entire show. Join us next Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Tiger Talk at the Pizza Ranch in Mobridge.